طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah we're continuing with wudu, right where we left off. طيب. So wudu, we talked about adhan. Now you hear the call to prayer, your heart longs to come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say the dua to get the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. You know about the reward of the muadhin, that whoever witnesses any object that hears the call of the muadhin will witness on the Day of Judgment on behalf of the muadhin. And we know that dua between adhan and iqamah is dua that is answered. So now when you hear the adhan, the call for prayer, you come to the masjid, you sit down, one of the things you want to do is you want to make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you want. Now, after you hear the call for the adhan though, the first thing you do is you make wudu. So let's talk about wudu. Number one, Hussein ibn Ali, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, it is said that when the time for wudu would come, when he would make wudu, it says his face would turn pale. The color of his face would literally change. And when they asked him about this, he says, "Do you realize before whom I wish to stand in prayer?" You see how wudu started his khushu'. It wasn't when he said Allahu Akbar. When he's making wudu, he's realizing, "I am about to get ready to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So we have to understand, khushu', brothers and sisters, doesn't start when we say Allahu Akbar. Khushu' is a process that starts well before the prayer actually begins. Now, what are some comments we can make about wudu? Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha qumtum ila as-salah فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين." He says, "O you who believe, when you stand to pray, when you're getting ready to go to salah, you first must make wudu." Now the ayah outlines what is required, what is the fard, what's obligatory for wudu. What is it? You wash your face, you wash your arms, you wipe your hair, and you wash your feet. Four steps of wudu. Now, do we do that in wudu? Yes, but do we more? You don't see anyone do those four steps. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing that the ummah as a whole doesn't just do the fara'id, they do the sunnah, they do what's recommended. What is that? Washing your hands, washing your mouth, washing your nose. All these are sunnah from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ when it comes to making wudu. And alhamdulillah, everybody does it. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. With intention, the ball game changes. With the proper intention, everything changes. What do I mean by that? SubhanAllah, you can have the most simple acts that we do on a day-to-day basis. If we have our intention proper, it becomes worship. For example, you go to sleep tonight after Salat Isha. You're sleeping for 6 hours. Everybody has to sleep. But the believer, the one whose heart is attached to Allah, who wants to go to Jannah, his intention is, "I am sleeping so I can have strength to worship Allah the next day. So I have strength to go to work, which is worship. I have strength to wake up for Fajr, which is worship. I have strength to do all these things." Their intention is to worship Allah. So now those 6 hours they spend in sleep, they get reward for it. Whereas somebody else, who just sleeps because I'm tired, they miss out on that reward. And so what does that have to do with wudu? Brothers and sisters, when you make wudu and you have the intention to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that when I make wudu, I am going to follow the command of Allah, as is in Surah Ma'idah. But number two, I am going to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, to wash my hands and my mouth and my nose and all these extra things, your ears, all from the sunnah. If your heart has the intention, I'm doing it out of love for the Prophet and I'm following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, your reward is magnified that much more. So you don't do it out of habit, you do it out of, with the intention, you're following the sunnah of the Prophet. That's why Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of the greatest scholars ever in Iraq, he said, "كَمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ قَلِيلٍ عَظَّمَتْهُ النِّيَّةِ وَكَمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ عَظِيمٍ حَقَّرَتْهُ النِّيَّةِ." He sees how many small deeds that have been done, but because of their intention, the reward has been magnified to levels we can't imagine. You know, there was a prostitute from Bani Israel. A prostitute, imagine how many sins she has committed. She once saw a thirsty dog licking the sand from how thirsty it was, it didn't have anything to drink, she gave this dog water. A dog that's, even in our sharia, it's not like, saliva is najis. You wouldn't think, you see dogs and cats all over the place. Here in Dallas, you see it a lot. Avalon Villas, where I stayed last year, mashallah, it's cat heaven. And I'm Abu Huraira, so I fit right in, alhamdulillah. So you give a thirsty cat or dog water. You know what Prophet ﷺ said? This woman, because of this one act of kindness, giving a dog water, all her sins are forgiven and she's granted Jannah. Allahu Akbar. But why? Why can she do that and get Jannah and somebody else do the same thing and get nothing? Or just get some good deeds? Because her intention, she felt mercy for this animal, and her intention, for the sake of Allah, I am going to feed this dog some water. Intention, that's it. Abdul Mubarak says the small deeds, intention magnifies them, and other great deeds. Somebody could be fighting jihad for the sake of Allah. He could die a shaheed. But his intention was to show off. His deed was destroyed by the intention. So when we make wudu, we make the intention to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, what are the sunnah of wudu? Quickly, I'm not going to go through all the wudu, but just quickly. Number one, we say Bismillah before we begin wudu. We say Bismillah before we begin wudu. Something many people forget. Number two, like we said, everything you do in wudu, if there's two sides, you start with the right, then go to the left. So wash your right hand three times, then your left hand three times. Prophet ﷺ, from his sunnah was he would wash his mouth. And then he would wash his nose. Now the sunnah of washing nose, not just washing it, but how did he do it? He would put water with his right hand. So he would sniff in the water with his right hand and then blow out with his left. So if you're able to do that, follow the sunnah, get more reward. Then he would wash his face. Now face is a required part of wudu. Now a common mistake, especially for the brothers. See, what happens when we wash our face with wudu, we stop at the beard. The beard is like this artificial border. So when we make wudu, we stop at the beard. But actually what's required of you when you make wudu is that you have to see between the ear, this tip of the earlobe and the beard, there's a space that must be washed. So don't stop at the beard. Make sure you get everything. In the wudu, when you wash your face, tip of the forehead, bottom of the chin, from this side, right in front of the earlobe, to this side, right in front. Same with sisters of your hijab, maybe you're missing out. Make sure you get this part of the face. This is required. It's required. Then we wash our arms. Now when we wash our arms, we wash all the way up to our elbow, right hand first, then left. A common mistake, again, is when you're making wudu and you're washing your elbow, what happens is, because here the skin, when your arm is straight, the skin is there's a lot of extra, you can see I'm grabbing skin, there's a lot of extra skin. So when people make wudu, all the water doesn't reach the skin. So what, just a basic tip, is do flex your arm. So now the skin is stretched. So now when you put water here, you're making sure your water is touching all parts of the skin. Many times you'll see people make wudu and they have this dry spot right here. So make sure you get the elbow. And then you wash, you wipe your hair. You wipe your hair like this and then you wipe your ears again. You don't have to put your hands in the water a second time. Your fingers into your ear, the thumbs behind the ear. You wipe it from the sunnah. And then you wash your feet, right foot first, then left. Now the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was, he would put his left pinky, his left hand and pinky, he would wipe between the toes. So again, the sunnah, if you want to do it, maybe people wipe between the toes in other ways. But the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet, do that with your left pinky, wipe between the toes. You get more reward. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he even told his companions once, when they were making wudu, he yelled to them. He said, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. You know, like, woe to the heels from hellfire. Meaning, make sure when you make wudu, you don't miss your heels. You know what happens is when people make wudu, it's natural. You're wiping your feet, you wipe over your foot like this, you're wiping the bottom, and your hands, by natural progression, just come up to the ankle. And they miss the heel. So Sahaba, when they're making wudu, they miss the heel. So the Prophet yelled to them, he was warning them, protect your heels from the hellfire, wash the heel as well. So another common mistake that people make is they miss out on the heel. Now, that's just some comments on the sunnah. Now, one of the other sunnah for making wudu is you use little bit of water. The Prophet ﷺ wouldn't use a whole bucket of water. You know, sometimes we have people now who make wudu and they come out of the bathroom and it looks like they made ghusl. They're drenched in water, the sink is all water all around it, the ground is covered in water. I'm sure fathers and mothers complain about their children. You're racking up the water bill, man. Come on, just get out. But the sunnah is use little water. You know, when I was on Hajj, we left Arafah and we were going to Muzdalifah. And you know, Hajj is, you know, obviously packed, you know. So when we were going, you know, I actually after Arafah just passed out. I was so exhausted and tired. I didn't eat much for the last couple of days. So as soon as we sat on the bus and it took forever for the bus to come, I just sat down and I passed out. I woke up, it was the middle of the night and the bus was stopped. Those of you who've been to Hajj, you know what I'm talking about. The traffic was just, it wasn't moving for hours. And now what's required is you pay Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah. But we didn't get there in time. I mean, it's the middle of the night, it's getting close to Fajr. We haven't paid Maghrib and Isha yet and the bus is not moving. So we said, Tayyib, we have to get off the bus and make wudu and pray. So we got off the bus. Now there's no place for water. So what we did was, when you go to Hajj, they give you these little like white boxes that have some like biscuits and some dates and an 8-ounce bottle of Zamzam water. Many of the groups, they get this. At least those who leave from America. So some brothers, some sisters had some of these 8-ounce bottles of Zamzam. Some didn't, they already drank it. So Allahu A'lam, I'm just estimating, I don't know exact numbers, but let's say there were 30 of us who had to go pray. Maybe we only had 15 8-ounce bottles. We all had to, well, many of us had to make wudu. We were in the bus for so long, many people fell asleep. So now we didn't have a sheikh in our group, so I kind of like was like a wannabe sheikh. I just said, okay, look brothers, this is what we have to do. We're only going to do the fara'id of wudu. Face, hands, hair, and feet. And the minimum is you have to do it once. Because we have a little bit of water to conserve, we'll do that. Subhanallah. Everybody made wudu who had to make wudu. And it was as if we didn't even use the water. We literally could have done the full sunnah wudu, 3 times everything, all the extras, and we would have had enough water. But people, when they're making wudu, the faucet is on full blast, the water is flowing. That's not the sunnah of the Prophet. Not only that, brothers and sisters, when you use a little bit of water, what happens? It takes a longer time to make wudu. You can't just rush through it and get everything done. It takes longer. But that's good, because when it takes longer, you stop and think. When you stop and think, you start having khushu'. What do you think about? We'll talk about that. You know, the Prophet said, number one, in Sahih Muslim, he said, مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَغْفَارِهِ. He said that when you make wudu, your sins are washed away until the point that they come out from underneath your fingernails. So now when you're making wudu, you're thinking, Ya Allah, when I'm washing my hand, I'm washing my arm, I'm washing away my sins that I've committed. In another hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. When the believer or the Muslim, he makes wudu. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ. When he washes his face, خَرَجَ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنَيْهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ. He says in Sahih Muslim, when you wash your face, every single sin that your eyes have looked at and committed haram with, they wash away with as the water flows away, so do the sins with the ending of water or with the last drop of water. Then he says, فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ, when he washes his arms, خَرَجَ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ بَطَشَتْ إِلَيْهَا بَطَشَتْ. He says, يَدَاهُ بَطَشَتْ يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَا أَخْرِ قَطْرَ الْمَاءِ. When the believer washes his arms, any sins that his arm has committed are washed away with the water or with the last drop of water. Then he says, when you wash your feet, any sins your feet have walked towards, have taken you towards to commit sin, will be washed away with the water or with the last drop of water. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. Until this believer, this Muslim, this mu'min, when he comes out of wudu, he comes out free from sin. Just with wudu? Subhanallah, this is the reward of wudu. So now when you're making wudu, instead of standing in front of the mirror and checking your lineup, I'm like, mashallah, I'm looking good today, man. Some people do weird things in front of the mirror. They check themselves out, they're like, you look really pretty. They start talking to themselves. Some people start dancing in front of the mirror. Weird things. Now when you're making wudu, you use a little bit of water, you're slowing down, you're thinking. Now when you wash your hand, you think, Ya Allah, how many sins has this hand committed? How many websites have been typed by this hand I should not have typed? How many posts on Facebook have been made of pictures of haram or backbiting or lying that should not have been done? How many sins I have committed by hitting someone or doing something wrong with this hand? Now you start thinking about your sins and hoping that Allah will count you amongst those when the water washes away, so to do the sins. So the ball game changes now. Now you're having khushu' when you make wudu. Same thing when you wash your face. How many sins have my eyes committed? When you wash your feet, how many sins have my feet walked me towards? Brothers and sisters, khushu' starts
Not at salah time, before salah. This is some of the ways in wudu. Not only that, the blessings of wudu are hard to imagine. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in Bukhari, that the Prophet, he would have dreams sometimes, and he would be taken to Jannah and see different things, and we know the dreams of Prophets are revelation, they're true. So Prophet ﷺ wakes up one morning after Salat al-Fajr, and he talks to Bilal ibn Rabah, his mu'adhin, and he says, Ya Bilal, حدثني بأرجى عمل عملته في الإسلام فإني سمعت دفن عليك بين يدي في الجنة يا الله. He says, Ya Bilal, tell me about the deed that you do that you have most hope in the reward from Allah. For I have heard, this is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's saying, I have heard your footsteps in front of me in Jannah. I was taken to Jannah by the angels and I heard your footsteps right in front of me. So what deed do you do that has given you this status? So Bilal ibn Rabah, he says, مَا عَمِلْتُ عَمَلًا أَرْجَى عِنْدِي أَنِّي لَمْ أَتَطَهَّرْ طُهُورًا فِي سَاعَةِ لَيْلٍ أَوْ نَهَارٍ إِلَّا صَلَّيْتُ بِذَلِكَ الطُّهُورِ مَا كُتِبَ لِي أَنْ أُصَلِّي. He says, Ya Rasulullah, there is nothing I do that I have more hope in its reward except that any time, day or night, when I make wudu, I make wudu, and then after I make wudu, I pray whatever Allah has written for me to pray. That's another scholar's comment. What's the deed that's being done here? Is it the wudu? Is it the prayer? Is it the consistency? Regardless, what we know is that Bilal, he gave importance to always being in a state of wudu. That's number one. Number two, when he would make wudu, let's say in the next break you have to use the bathroom. Don't just lose wudu and not make wudu again. Make wudu again. So you're always in a state of wudu. Number two, he would pray at least 2 rak'ahs. Or more, whatever Allah has written for him to pray. Number three, the scholars say the Prophet ﷺ has said that the best deed and most loved deed to Allah is the one that is done, that is consistent, even if it's small. So some say because of the consistency that he will always do this deed every single time, this is what gave him this reward. Regardless, wudu is part of this great blessing of Bilal ibn Rabah. This great bounty Allah has given Bilal ibn Rabah. Not only that, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, you know, we talked about, those of you who weren't here, we talked about the Prophet ﷺ a lot in the first session. What he ﷺ went through for us. 6 of his children died in his life. He buried Ibrahim, he buried Zainab, his daughter, with his own hands. Yet he never stopped giving the da'wah. Child dies, he doesn't make it as an excuse, oh Allah, how did you test me like this? He kept going. And we know what he went through, insults and whatnot. But you know what, one day we love the Prophet ﷺ so much for what he went through for us. And he even says, he told the Sahaba, I wish I could see my brothers and my sisters. He was sitting at Masjid Jannat al-Baqi', the graveyard of Medina, and he said, وَدِدْتُ لَوْ أَنَّا رَأَيْنَا إِخْوَانَنَا. He said, I wish I could see my brothers and my sisters. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, أَوَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكَ. Are we not your brothers? What do you mean you wish to see your brothers? We're right here in front of you. What do you mean you wish to see your brothers? He says, أنتم أصحابي وإخواننا الذين لم يأتوا بعد. He says, you are my companions. My brothers are those who come after us. They have not yet come. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, how would you recognize your brothers? How would you recognize your sisters? You've never seen them before, so how would you recognize them? So he says, do you imagine the scenario that you have a stable of black horses, duhmun, buhmun, all black horses. And then he says there's some horses who have white foreheads and white limbs. Their four legs are white. The bottom of it. And by the way, this is a sign of royalty amongst horses, is that they have this white forehead and white limbs. Even when you see like movies and like Lord of the Rings and all these other like war movies and stuff, you'll see that the hero always has this horse that's one color, except its forehead and its limbs are a different color. So he says, do you imagine that you have this stable of black, all black horses, and amongst them are black horses with white foreheads and white limbs. Will you not recognize those horses amongst all the black horses? And they said, Bala ya Rasulullah. Of course, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says, just like that, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْتُونَ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنَ الْوُضُوءِ وَأَنَا فَرَطُهُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. He says, just like that, my ummah on the Day of Judgment will come to the hawd, will come to the pond of the Prophet ﷺ, غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ. Their faces will be white and their limbs will be white. Because of wudu. Because of wudu. And he says, and I will precede them, waiting for them at the hawd, at the pond of the Prophet. So now my question to you is, brothers and sisters, is if we don't make wudu, how will the Prophet recognize us? If we don't make wudu, how will the Prophet recognize us? Do you understand what that means, that he'll recognize at the hawd of al-Kawthar? You know what that is? The Prophet ﷺ says, "Hawdi masiratu shahr," that my pond on the Day of Judgment is 1 month long in distance and travel. And he says, "Ma'uhu abyadu min al-laban wa rihuhu atyabu min al-misk." Its water is more white than milk and its smell is more beautiful than musk. And he says, "Wa kizanuhu kanujum as-sama'." And its vessels by which people can drink from are more numerous than the stars in the sky. Then he says, "Man shariba minha fala yadhma'u abada." Whoever drinks from that hawd will never feel thirsty again. You know, brothers and sisters, I made Umrah last year, alhamdulillah. And what happened was, I decided to, we wanted to climb Jabal Thawb, which is the mountain which Prophet ﷺ climbed when he made hijrah from Mecca to Medina. And so, it's a pretty serious climb. It's harder than Hira. Those of you been to Ghar Hira, it's harder than that. But the day that we were going to climb, I'm not going to explain why, but I decided to fast that day. I was fasting the day we were going to climb this mountain. Now the plan was to go after Salat al-Fajr. When people go, they go after Salat al-Fajr. Because obviously the Saudi Arabian sun, the desert is hot. But Muslim Standard Time, obviously we got there late. So we didn't start climbing until the sun was already up. And I was fasting. So we're walking on this mountain, there's obviously no shade, there's obviously no clouds, and we're walking up this mountain and the thirst is just building and building. It took us 3 hours. Finally, when I got back down, I was so thirsty. I was like dying of thirst. Literally, I felt like my body's just gonna give up. So I was looking forward to iftar like I've never looked forward to iftar before. And so I went to the market to get some drinks. So, sisters, never take your husbands to go shopping when they're hungry or they're thirsty. Because you're going to just buy anything and everything. I went to the market, I literally bought 8 different drinks. Kiwi fruit, this tropical banana, this cocktail, everything. Almost everything I saw, I bought. When the adhan went off for Salat al-Maghrib, we talked about looking forward to the adhan. I don't think I look forward to the adhan more than that adhan. When the adhan went off, I drank. And I drank. And I drank to the point, I'm not lying, I didn't eat iftar that day. I drank enough that I didn't have to eat, and I didn't eat breakfast the next day. I drank like I've never drunk before. I was so thirsty for just 3 hours climbing in the sun. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Day of Judgment, that the Day of Judgment is 50,000 years long. And the sun is not 4.2 billion light years away. The sun is 1 mile away. Can you imagine? There will be no place for you except for the place where you're standing. That's it. And people will be sweating according to their level of their sins they have committed. Some till their ankles, some to their knees, some to their hips, some to their necks. Some will be drowning in their sweats. Imagine the thirst that the people will feel on that day, 50,000 years with the sun a mile away. If you walked from here to Tuscany Estates or Avalon Villas, you're going to feel thirsty. You're going to go home and right away drink some water. 5 minutes under 100 degrees in Dallas. What about when the Day of Judgment, when it's one plane, the sun a mile away? How thirsty will you be? Now do you understand the power and the meaning of the Prophet ﷺ recognizing you by the signs of wudu when you go and drink from his hand, a drink from which you will never feel thirsty again? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us amongst those who drink from the hand of the Prophet ﷺ at al-hawd, Allahumma ameen. But there will be one group of people who won't be allowed to drink. They will come to the pond of the Prophet and the angels will drive them away and the Prophet will say, "What are you doing? This is my ummah." But they will say, "Ya Rasulullah, you don't know what they invented after you. bid'ah this, they're innovating these things, let's do these weird things that Prophet ﷺ never did or never enjoined the Sahaba to do. But we know better than the Prophet how to worship Allah than what the Prophet and the Sahaba did. So we're going to do things they never have done. Out of love for the Prophet, these acts will keep us away from the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. But again, I ask you, brothers and sisters, how will the Prophet ﷺ recognize you if you don't make wudu? You know, so now when we make wudu, we follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that's the intention, and we do all the acts of the sunnah. Number two, we wash our limbs and our body, and we think about all the sins we have committed, and inshallah, we hope that Allah wipes them away, just like the Prophet ﷺ has told us. Number three, as we wash our arms, we're thinking, oh man, I am filling my arms, my face, my feet with the light of Allah. With this nur by which the Prophet ﷺ himself will recognize us on the Day of Judgment. So now wudu, when you do this, like with this in mind, your wudu changes. It's a different experience. Now, it doesn't just end there, brothers and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتَوَضَّأُ فَيَبْلُغُهُ فَيَسْبُغُ الْوُضُوءُ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أَيِّهَا شَاءَ. يَا الله. The Prophet said, whoever says this dua, simple, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That's it. You make wudu when you say this dua. The Prophet says, whoever does this, all 8 gates of Jannah will be open to this person. Enter from whichever one you want. For this is it. As simple as that. And the scholars even say, after you make wudu, because of this hadith, they base this opinion based on this hadith, that dua is answered at this point. Because the gates of Jannah are open, so the dua will be answered. But can you imagine, Abu Bakr, the greatest man ever to live after the Prophet, he will be called from every gate of Jannah. You'll be called from every gate of Jannah. Can you imagine? We can have that blessing. We could choose whichever gate of Jannah we want just by saying this dua after wudu. The mercy of blessings of wudu. Subhanallah. Not only that, it doesn't end there. The Prophet said another hadith. من توضع فقال. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. In this hadith, Imam At-Tirmidhi, this is the narration of Imam Muslim. He says this first part, whoever says this. Imam At-Tirmidhi, he records in his hadith, also Sahih, that you also say, Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh Allah, make me amongst those who repent and those who purify themselves. So you also add this part. So again, do the better of the two, memorize the whole thing and say both after your wudu. And you will have all 8 gates of Jannah open to you. And it's in the handout if you have it. If you don't have it, make sure to sign up outside. And we can email you the PDF. You can memorize all these du'a. It's all there in the handout. Now not only that, the Prophet said in another hadith, مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ كُتِبَ فِي رِقٍّ ثُمَّ جُعِلَ فِي طَابِعٍ فَلَمْ يُكْسَرْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever says this hadith, that how absolutely perfect you are, O Allah, and with your praise I continue. There's absolutely no God but you. I seek your forgiveness and turn to you in repentance. He says, whoever says this after wudu, it will be written in a parchment, and it will be sealed, and it will not be broken until the Day of Judgment. So imagine you come to the day on the Day of Judgment. Your limbs are shining with wudu, with nur, and your sins have been forgiven, and you can enter from any gate of Jannah that you want, and when the hisab starts, you're brought all these seals, these parchments, that have never been broken until the Day of Judgment, as a testimony to you, O Allah, this slave of Allah has made wudu in this world every salah. So this is a reward for him. Can you imagine that? This is wudu. So now you make wudu, brothers and sisters, think about these things, and you get into khushu. You start developing khushu.